This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For 60 million people, most of it is just playing out the string, meaning it's been continuing. That's nothing new. The president in D.C. this time indicted, pleading not guilty again. This time it's a handful of charges relating to what happened a couple of years ago on January 6th, the attack on the Capitol. People weighed in on whether or not they would vote for Trump if he were found guilty, and you might be surprised by the results. We'll talk about that. And, of course, other things that are happening that threaten us, including the Saudis extending the oil production cut. What does it all mean? Hey, hey, America, I hope you are keeping cool and hydrated. You know those big pitchers of water that, of course, you have to filter the water? That's those like Brita things that are giant. It's almost like I'm getting a workout when I reach up into the fridge because it's like a weight. It's that heavy. That thing you just fill it up, right? It just keeps on getting filled up. And how often is that drained? A lot. Because that's how hot it is, because you constantly have to fill it up. Or you got a lot of those plastic bottles that are of water that are hanging around the refrigerator. And I noticed in my grocery store, it's pilfered, meaning, you know, there's some left. But those really cheap, giant containers of water are mostly gone because people are taking them up and putting them away and stocking them, knowing that that's what they want to do. They want to run out with a couple of bottles of water. All right, it wasn't about running out. It was about familiar territory. The president, not in New Jersey, not in Florida, but in Washington, D.C. And the reason for that is because he was once again in court, and the magistrate handling former President Trump's arraignment on charges related to overturn the 2020 election warned him Thursday against bribing or influencing witnesses, reminding him during the arraignment proceedings not to do that, that it is a crime. So this particular judge is not going to oversee the trial. The trial or the case has been assigned to a U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan, an Obama appointee who handed down strong sentences to January 6 defendants. So the warning to the former president is notable given that the House committee is investigating the January 6 attack on the Capitol, alleging the former prez and his allies try to contact and influence a witness in that investigation. So there's all these looks back on transcripts and, you know, all of that. But the bottom line is the president did address reporters afterwards. And, of course, what was released from the courthouse, there weren't cameras in there, were artist renderings of the president in his familiar blue suit and tie and an attorney standing and a judge there and what you would normally see in any kind of a court proceeding. So the prospect is the ex-president repeatedly going on trial in an election year where he is the Republican front runner. I mean, he is absolutely the front runner. There's absolutely nobody that's even close to Trump. People keep talking about the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, nowhere near the popularity of this president. And there were people outside of the arraignment. There were people, some of them were carrying signs and whatnot. It wasn't a raucous crowd or anything, but there were definitely people there knowing that he was going to be there. There was the video of the motorcade to an airport and sweeping into the city for this indictment and the arraignment, like I described. He had the classic dark suit and long red tie on, and said that when reporters asked him before he got back on the plane, he said, you know, if you can't beat him, you persecute him or you prosecute him. He said that as he was under a black umbrella because there was rain that was coming in from the airfield before he flew back to his New Jersey golf club. And it's interesting because people knew that that was happening. So there were people, like I said, that were out there. Their cameras were up. They were trying to get shots of it, or they had some signs up, and it wasn't some giant crowd, but there was definitely a crowd there. And you know, you look at this and you look at what happens, and you look at the signs in the short term, and you look at, like, if you look at a former president, you look at his success in convincing certainly lots of supporters that listen, this is what's happening to me, and I am going to keep on doing what I do. And if you look at these polls that have been released, a new CNN poll that came out on Thursday showed that some 69% of Republicans and Republican-leaning independents say that Biden's win in 2020 wasn't legitimate. That's almost 70%, and that's up from 63% earlier in the year and last fall with you know, no evidence, no change in the air to maybe make them think, maybe make anyone who took this poll think that. But is it a deflection? Is it, you know, what are the indictments about? And will the indictments stick? What will happen in these courtrooms? And there's no way to know that, because if it's a trial, you know, it's up to the jury. Go through the trial system. And that's what we're talking about in these three different scenarios. So the takeaway is, my friends, this is going to be, it seems like I've been saying this for the last three election cycles, but it doesn't get more interesting than what happens next. And it is about dates. It is about pushing through. And there's a push to make this a speedy trial. And personally, I think that's better all the way around, because then you don't get into the primaries, or maybe you kind of skirt into the primaries and skirt around it. But there is absolutely no question in looking at whatever the poll is, and new polls keep finding that there is no change in the air as to who is going to be the nominee on the Republican side. You know, after the not guilty plea, because there were four charges he pled not guilty to, Trump called it a very sad day, a very, very sad day for America, a very, very sad day. Meanwhile, while all of that was happening, there were some other things that were happening across the country, and it was the sweltering heat. How many of us, I said 60 million, I double-checked that number, it is 60 million, and records are being shattered all over Arizona, California, but not just there, Texas, in Louisiana, in Missouri. So it's spread out across the country. It is all about keeping cool. Coming up next, we enter the man cave.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Women's sports for a second. Diana Taurasi made WNBA history, first to reach 10,000 points. Wow, that sounds exhausting to me. And the Phoenix Mercury veteran became that person to do that milestone during a Mercury 91-71 win over Atlanta on Thursday. The home crowd in Phoenix is pretty good. The Phoenix really supports its WNBA team. They watch her score each and every point in the familiar purple and orange uni, and 42 points, the most she's had in the game since 2010. That's what she did, so it's kind of appropriate. She had a lot of three-pointers, etc., and so they celebrated the fact that she's been the leading scorer since 2017 when she surpassed Tina Thompson's previous record of 7,488 points. Boy, that's an incredible milestone if you think about it. She's 41 years old. She was selected by the Mercury at the first overall pick in 2004. She, of course, played for UConn, an iconic team. She led the Huskies to three national titles, so it's not a surprise that she's such an incredible, talented athlete and that she brought all that talent to Phoenix with her, and the crowd appreciates her. She is a fan favorite, absolutely, to be sure. Hey, speaking of fan favorites, Lionel Messi, oh boy, oh boy. First road MLS match sold out in 22 minutes against FC Dallas. Record time. So I've been to this stadium in Dallas many, many times. And, of course, people are don't want to see him. He's scoring in the games. He's making it exciting. The resale market for tickets, as much as 3,000, with none lower than 600 to see Messi face Dallas on Sunday in a League's Cup match. How about that? Tickets on the AXS resale site reach 20,000. That's more than double the average cost to attend the Super Bowl. Woo! And they sold out, you know, like I said, record time. Capacity of that stadium, 20,500. If you go to Miami's home, their stadium holds 21,000 seats. And that, of course, completely sold out for Messi's debut. And the inner Miami ticket prices have skyrocketed. Tickets are going high everywhere for his road matches. Like, you've got another big match coming up against New York. And the same thing in L.A. And the same thing in Chicago. He's just that much of a phenom and ensures that you get to see one of the greatest players of all time. Messi has 5 goals in 3 matches, and they've all ended in Miami wins. So that's what people are talking about in Miami. Even if they are not soccer fans, they are now. There are these people that can transcend sports. And he is one of them, especially where he's playing. It completely makes sense. Completely makes sense. All right. The U.S. women, our international team competing, trying to get a third World Cup in a row, which would make history, they definitely have not been scoring goals. They're in a situation where they've made it into the round of 16. They now take on Sweden. That'll happen in the wee hours on Saturday morning. But what has happened, they had a 0-0 tie against Portugal. Thank goodness, because Portugal almost scored a goal. Goalpost stopped that. But what's happened is there's a former player who's on Fox and who's commentating. Her name's Carly Lloyd. I may have mentioned in a previous show. And that's become good TV for some. She is ripping the U.S. women's team. She is questioning their preparation, their passion, and all of it, and is getting a lot of, it's getting a lot of attention. There have been stories in the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and, you know, all over the place. And I've said this before, but Lindsay Horan, who is the captain of the U.S. women's team and is fiery and normally a good goal scorer, scored the goal that tied the game with the Netherlands, thank goodness, said when she was asked about Carly Lloyd that she wanted to defend the team, and she said, you know, people don't have any idea what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know with what we're doing with training and what we're doing individually and collectively and you know, all of that. But it's interesting because if you're Fox and you have somebody who is not afraid to be super critical and someone who played, no matter what people think of her doing that, it is definitely made it saucy and it has definitely attracted attention. I mean, this is a superior team, it's true, and this is a team that's not scoring. To come to a scoreless draw with Portugal, well, that's not superior playing. There were opportunities, so I said this in another show too. Is it that the competition is that much better? Is it that you have younger players and a few wily veterans and it just isn't working, or the game plan doesn't seem to come together right? You know, that's the big question mark, right? What is it? What are the factors of that? And of course the team and the game planning and everything behind that, they're all saying that's just baloney nonsense, that we are prepared, that we're trying to win and we're still in the whole thing and we're still in the middle of this. I don't know. Maybe this will fire them up. And Sweden is going to be very, very, very tough because that's not a pushover team, not a pushover team. All right, I've been talking about the Heat, and we know what kind of effect does the Heat have on professional athletes. Shohei Ohtani hit his 40th homer after his start was cut short due to finger cramps. Some people thought, oh, is it cramping from the Heat? No, finger cramps. I just want to set that straight. But he pitched four scoreless innings against the Mariners, threw only 59 pitches, but he stayed in the game as a hitter, so he was able to come up on the ball and hit his 40th homer. He's a fun player to watch. He's a very, very, very fun player to watch. I mean, this was what happens sometimes to pitchers. He had a blister in his right middle finger for part of July, and that's now subsided, so that's a good thing. And when you have finger cramping, which can happen to pitchers, does he have to skip a start because of finger cramping or not? And they don't know at this point. That's like one of those, let's wait and see what happens if we're going to have to do that, or, you know, what we're going to have to do ultimately. All right, in the land of football, boy, we are getting closer, aren't we? We're getting so close to the real thing. If we look at Canton, Ohio, hours before the Browns set to kick off the NFL preseason on Thursday, they honored their great all-time player, Jim Brown. The Browns and the Pro Football Hall of Fame commemorated the legendary running back with what they called the Celebration of Life. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1971. He died in May at the age of 87. Jimmy Haslam, the Browns owner, said he transcended football. Jim got into the entertainment business as an actor. Then Jim was into social justice before there was social justice, and there were a lot of interesting, remarkable stories that were told about him. And I had the chance in my career at one point to meet the great Jim Brown, and he's just super gracious and a lot of fun to have a quick conversation with. By the way, the Browns beat the Jets in that preseason Hall of Fame game 21-16. Austin Watkins Jr.'s touchdown put the Brownies ahead of the Jets for good in that Hall of Fame game. I can't believe football's here again. I feel like I say that every single year, but we are oh so close. The preseason means, yes, preseason football, and before you know it, we're into the regular thing. Then for those of you who play fantasy football, and if you do the nail the score thing with us, it is back, back, back. It's going to be an interesting year, to say the least. It's going to be a hot one to start the season. That's for sure. A very, very hot one. Got a great guest coming up next. Wait till you hear her story about how she had to deal with the Russians as a young girl, how she survived it, and what her novel is all about next.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA News update.
So if you can't beat him, you persecute him or you prosecute him. We can't let this happen in America.
Former President Trump's comments after pleading not guilty to criminal charges connected to his alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Speaking from the airport in Virginia, Trump noted he thinks the case is persecution against a political opponent and politically motivated.
This is a persecution of a political opponent. This was never supposed to happen in America. This is the persecution of the person that's leading by very, very substantial numbers.
The National Insurance Crime Bureau says the full-size Chevy Silverado and Ford F-150 pickup trucks were the most stolen vehicles last year. More than 700,000 vehicles are stolen in the United States each year. Thanks for listening. Tim Berg, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
And this whole concept and these future books, wait till you hear his story. It is so interesting. Nate, thanks for popping on.
Ms. Delaney, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
So let's talk about the motivation behind writing this and then what ultimately is going to be a series of books.
Well, the motivation is a simple fact that sorghum and millets are among the first grains ever cultivated by mankind. And they're not only nutritious, and the research is showing how great those are in human diets, but they're also very sustainable for the environment, using a third of the water and greatly impacting biodiversity and soil health. But the reality is that we've all forgotten that these grains exist outside of some pockets in the world, like India and parts of Africa. And so what we're hoping to do with the Sorgho Squad books is not only bring a bit of education to consumers here in other parts of the world, but also make them a little bit of fun. And I think we've struck a right balance there.
Yeah, and tell the listeners about the background with the posters, because the illustrations are amazing.
Right. So about 2 years ago, we started an international group. Now, I used to be the executive director of the Nebraska Grain Sorghum Board. And while I was there, I was at a conference in Toulouse, France, where I heard some of my counterparts talking about the challenges within the industry in Europe. And I realized, my gosh, guys, these are the same problems we have in the U.S. We're going to be competitors maybe in the commodity stage, but let's find some ways to work together. And so from there grew our group, which is called Sorghum United. And we came together really around the very simple concept of wherever you go in the world, sorghum is called something different. And that makes it incredibly difficult when you're on trade missions or you're, you know, trying to do business overseas. Because if I say sorghum in a place where they say sorgho, they might look at me pretty funny. So our group came up with the idea that we would, you know, use some of the most common nomenclatures around the world for these grains and put them all on the same page so that people would recognize that they're the same thing. And so from there, we came up with three characters. We have Milo. He's a young character. He represents the nomenclature here in North America and also the environmental benefits of sorghum in cropping systems and rotations. And then we have Mashila. Mashila is the common nomenclature in Ethiopia, and she represents the health and nutrition benefits of sorghum in human and animal diets. And then we have Jowar. Jowar is the common nomenclature in India, or actually one of several common nomenclatures in India. And Jowar represents the industrial applications for sorghum for fuel and fiber type purposes. And so from these, we developed 10 different posters that happened to coincide with the International Year of Millets at the United Nations. And I'm very happy to report that not only are those posters available on our website at sorghumunited.com for free download in four of the six United Nations languages, but I hand-delivered a set of those posters in English to the United Nations Food and Ag Organization office in Rome in December at the opening ceremony of the International Year. So the books are meant to give more context to those characters and to provide their story, whereas the posters have a lot of very interesting and useful facts. And actually, we really encourage teachers to print them off, put them up in their classrooms. There's a lot of things that I think children can learn from those, too.
What do people not understand about sorghum? What do they not understand?
Well, usually it's just a question of, I work in sorghum, and then the question is, what is sorghum? So the question is really, what is it? And even within the agricultural industry, you know, often it's just looked at as it's animal feed, right? Interestingly enough, you know, a little over 100 years ago, corn was just used as animal feed as well. You know, so, you know, we're really reintroducing it is what we're doing. You know, this is kind of a colonial, post-colonial holdover, I should say. So what happened was, you know, again, these grains are ancient grains. They've been grown around the world for millennia. But what happened when European powers went into Asia, parts of Africa, where these grains were being grown, they didn't recognize them. They didn't know what they were. And so they convinced the local populations, well, you don't want to grow that. You want to grow corn and wheat instead. The reality is that there's room on the table, or room on the plate, I should say, for all of these grains. We like corn, we like wheat, we like soybeans. But there's definitely benefits not only in cropping rotations and cropping systems to including sorghum in the farm, but also from a human health aspect. There are over 200 different research papers from around the world, different institutions, that all come to the same conclusions in that sorghum has anti-inflammatory benefits. It helps to rebalance the human gut microbiome. There's anti-carcinogenic benefits and heart health benefits, just to name a few. So it makes sense to reintroduce these and get these back on the plate.
So let's talk about, that was a great explanation. You definitely know sorghum, so for sure, you're in the right spot. So Sorgho Squad, and as I said, there were a series of books, graphic novel style. Tell us about, like, the first book.
Right. So in the first book, we have Professor Sorgho, who has the same haircut I do, and that's not by accident. And his assistant, Alice Atlas, and they're trying to find solutions to some of the world's largest problems. And these are real-world problems, by the way, you know, around hunger, malnutrition, environmental sustainability. And the professor rediscovers some ancient tales of a super team, an ancient grain super team that's been lost over time. And so actually the first three books are kind of adventure books where they're going to real life locations, archaeological sites mostly, to try to find these characters and reunite them as a Sorgho Squad team. So in the first book, we meet Jowar. I don't want to spoil too much, but they find Jowar in the Indus Valley, which is actually in Pakistan, but you know, that region, Pakistan and India, both use a lot of sorghum and millets. So that makes a lot of sense. And they're able to wake him up, because sorghum, of course, when it gets too dry in a drought, it doesn't die like other crops. It just goes dormant. So a little bit of water, and he perks right back up and wakes up. And then they're on to the next adventure in Book 2, which is where they'll find Mashila in Ethiopia at the underground churches in Lalibel. And then third book, they're on to North America, where they'll find Milo. And that one is going to be a little bit of a surprise. There's a bit of a twist in it. So I don't want to say too much about that. But the second book will be up here within the next couple of weeks on Amazon. And the third book is actually being illustrated right now by my partner, Jordan Scribner. You know, when I was writing these, I really very much had that kind of a format in mind. So they're really an easy read, but they're fun. They're informative. And then when I found Jordan's illustrations, you know, I mean, he's very much a graphic novel style artist. And, I mean, it was just a match made in heaven, so to speak. But I describe the books, if you're reading them casually, I describe them as Indiana Jones meets Captain Planet. So, again, informative, but also a lot of fun.
Yeah. So what, and you pretty much told us this, but what do you hope the takeaway is for anybody listening to us and saying, you know, I'm going to get that for my grandkid, or I'm just going to get it and read it, or, you know, a lot of us like graphic novel style, entertainment, because it is entertaining and educational. That's the thing. I think you've matched both of them. What do you hope the takeaway is?
Well, I hope the takeaway is that people want to know more. You know, I hope they go to the Sorgo Squad website, but I also hope they go to Sorghum United. I hope they go to their grocery store and say, hey, you know, I'm not seeing sorghum flour on the shelf, or I'm not seeing whole grain or pearled grain sorghum on the shelf. Or maybe they're going to, you know, their local food processor and saying, hey, why aren't we using more of these grains? That's really what we're hoping the takeaway is just that basic awareness. The reality is, when we talk about agriculture, and again, I grew up on a farm, but I grow crops about as well as I grow a full head of hair. And when I talk to farmers, though, what they tell me is, you know, they would love to grow sorghum or millets in the rotation if they had somewhere to sell it. The reality is that 93% of U.S. sorghum gets on a boat and goes to China, right? You know, what that means is if you're in Texas or somewhere near a port, you're doing pretty good when prices are good for sorghum overseas. But if you're in Nebraska, where I live, or anywhere really north of Texas, you're never going to get that premium because you're paying for the transportation costs. Now, what we do have in Nebraska and other parts of the world where these grains are grown is that we might not be near a port, but we're centrally located for that domestic market. And so what we'd like to do is have more value-added processing proximate to the farm so that our farmers then can include this in rotation and maybe get it under contract instead of settling for a commodity price they can't control. And when we do that, we can not only create jobs in a community, but we can also increase on-farm revenues. So it's really prosperity through macroeconomics, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now, the same is true in the U.S. for a conventional farmer as it is in, say, Uganda for a smallholder farmer, where the local farmers are growing these grains already, but they're just going into low-value animal feed. You know, meanwhile, in the country, there are issues around malnutrition and hunger. You know, so ultimately what these books will do, in addition to another funding source that we're working on, because we are an international NGO, we're a nonprofit, but we want to be self-sustaining, right? If we talk about sustainability, I think that starts at home. So we want our organization to be financially sustainable. So what these funding sources ultimately will do, outside of just education and increasing opportunities along the value chain, it'll ultimately be able to fund our efforts to create entrepreneurial and small business development hubs that are using sorghum and millets in places like Uganda or Jordan or Malaysia, so we can create that same kind of prosperity there. And bigger, even bigger picture, honestly, Kate, is that we know that political stability often comes from economic sustainability. And when people have full bellies and they're doing well financially, the rest tends to come into place over time. And so that's what we're hoping to achieve in the long run. So, I mean, you know, not to sound grandiose, but, you know, we're only trying to solve world hunger and create the opportunities for political stability around the globe.
Sounds good to me, Nate. What a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure, Kate. Thank you so much.
this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We take you to Geneva, Switzerland. Boy, that's a place I want to go. Agnes Pellier-Galdi joins us here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And it's interesting, we talked off the air and Geneva, beautiful place. Why is she in Geneva? She's such a smart woman. She speaks 6 languages. She was a librarian internationally because of those languages, and that's what brought her to Geneva. But she's written a book called The Squirrel Cage, talking about things that she went through in her early years, and it, you'll find it fascinating. Agnes, thanks for coming on the show. What is The Squirrel Cage about? Tell us what it's about.
Yes. As you know, squirrels sometimes have a cage which turns round and round. And this communism was like, you just couldn't get out of it. It was always just going round and round, and you are staying pushed. You can't traverse, you can't move, you have to go with the, at the wheel the squirrel cage goes. So it's a sort of prison. That's why I call it the squirrel cage. And me, with my temperament, I was like a squirrel. I wanted to climb trees and mountains and travel, but it was not possible. So,
and you were young, and you were in Prague, Czechoslovakia, and tell us what it was like then in 1945.
Are you talking about 1935?
35, yes.
No. In 35, I was 5 years old. And I was living in Budapest as a very high-level bourgeois kid with two governances, German and English. So in 1935, everything was all right. We had a big apartment, and I lived like a noble family. But then came the war, 1938, and the war was, you could say, won against the Germans, but the Russians walked into Budapest and created communism. That was in 1945. And this is when the Scribble Cage period started.
What was life like then?
We were very happy that the war was over, and I thought I was 16 years old. I started, wanted to go to balls and everything, but it was an expression of class. I didn't belong to the right proletarian communist class. I belonged to the, not the noble, but the sort of higher level class, where I wanted to go to dancing, to bars, and listen to American jazz. And this was not allowed. And so I made a novel out of this, where how did a young girl have to live during the communist years, which came into Prague in 1944, after the war. So the book is describing 1944 until 1956, when I managed to escape with a sort of phony excuse.
Were you scared when you escaped?
No, I wasn't scared because I managed to lie to the police and say that my father, who was living in Vienna, was dangerously sick, and they allowed me to go for 3 days. The 3 days became 70 years, and I never came back. The person I was scared for was my mother, who remained in the communist Czechoslovakia. But she managed to find an excuse, so nothing happened to her.
Yeah, when you were under the communist thumb and you wanted to work, how hard was it to get papers? How hard was it to work?
Yeah. So I got a job immediately in the radio in Bratislava, which was Slovakia. And I was a secretary. But when they found out of my origin, you know, which was not a proletarian, but a high-level social strata, then they immediately threw me out. So then started one job after another. And the danger was in the Silver Age time, let's call it that they would put me in a factory work. Because communism is that the worker is a social element. And why should a person like me not take part in building socialism?
So, wow, listening to this, why did you write the book? What made you write the novel?
Why? Because I felt that people could know those who are still left-wing in France and everywhere. We could know what this famous Marxism and communism looks like in reality. That's why I wrote the book. So people could wake up that there could be freedom and democracy. That counts for America, that counts for all the countries in the world, that the best system is democracy.
And that's what your dad wanted for you, right? He got you to Canada. Didn't you at one point go to Canada?
What you call a Canada, please?
You talked about where did you go in 56? How did you get out of the situation?
Yes. I got out because my father, as I said, living in Vienna, wrote a phony telegram or somebody wrote it for him that he is dying in a hospital. So I ran to the police in Prague and said, I want to see my father alive before he dies, and please give me a 3-day exit permit, which they did. And then, of course, I didn't come back.
So then what was your life like? Tell us about your life. I mentioned the 6 languages and how you ended up in Switzerland.
Yeah. Okay, but the languages came because of the upbringing. I was born in 1930. At 2 years old, I already had a German governess. So I learned German immediately. Then came the English when I was about 6-7 years old. But in those years, that was just before the war. So my grandfather had a very good position. So we could afford to having a car and a governess. And then came the war, so we had to be under a fallout shelter, like the Ukrainians are now. That's why I feel very strongly about this book. It's almost, it's like now what's happening in Ukrainian cities.
Yeah, wow. Well, the book will take you in so many places, that's for sure. And it's The Squirrel Cage, and it's our pleasure to speak with Agnes Pellier-Galdi. Thank you so much for sharing your book and your story.
Very gladly, and I hope that the world will learn from it to stay free from all kinds of dictatorships. That's all.
Absolutely incredible when you think about what Agnes went through. And, of course, this is a novel, but what she went through during that time period and what so many people had to deal with during, you know, the Stalin era was absolutely incredible. And surviving that is quite a feat. There's no question about it. So the novel was written about that time, as she talked about, during the years of the Stalin era, and that's the former Czechoslovakia from 1948 to 1956. Now, the story itself, I mean, it's a romantic story, and the main focus is how young people really were able to deal with dictatorship in their everyday circumstances and trying to live, how do you do this, a normal life. And Agnes talked about that and what it's like, what is the story, this is fiction, of a young lady trying to work in offices or taking part in, you know, politics of the moment without being a party member. And imagine again how fearful you would be, how tough it would be, how much demand there would be on your life, and how fearful you would be, and how you would have to keep so much of that under wraps. You know, I mean, you'd have to keep so much of it that way. Anyway, her book is terrific. You can pick it up on Amazon. Beautiful cover. It's right there. You can get it on Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thanks for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness, he is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter @KateSDelaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.